Greetings. My name is Bill Clagsby, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Rebecca Flora, who is Secretary of the Maryland Department of Planning. And Rebecca's here today to talk to us about the various things that her department is doing to help make Maryland better. So, Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks, Bill. Glad to be here.
I'm glad that you've come. It's been over a year now since I last interviewed you, and I know planning is always doing something to help the state, so I'm glad you could come back and talk to us about it. First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you tell us a little bit about the Maryland Department of Planning, please?
Yeah, thanks a lot. Planning as a discipline has been going on for nearly 100 years in the state of Maryland. We were one of the first in the country, actually, to recognize the need for more planning as an official area. And so, you know, just to give a little background on that first, because it really has been an incredible evolution dating all the way back to 1933 and the leadership that occurred in Maryland over that time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, over those years, we've gone everything from, you know, Depression area public works programs to creating the State Planning Department in 1959. Maryland Historic Trust was created in 1961. And then we actually became a cabinet level agency in 1969, interestingly. And so fast forward to almost 2025 now, you know, we're still here, we're still doing work, and it really centers around how do we sort of think about not only understanding development and growth practices across the state of Maryland, but where are we going with potentially as much as a million new residents population by the year 2050. We have to sort of think about how do we do that in a really balanced, sustainable way. So that's sort of the big picture, but happy to dive into some of the specific services if that works for you.
Great. How can someone find out more information about the department?
Well, we do have a website, of course, and it's just planning.maryland.gov, and you'll find all kinds of information there. And in fact, if you're interested in the history, there's a page and a section specifically tracing you back under About Us. And then we have other pages there around some of the products, the commissions that we're involved in, some of our work, our state data analysis center, things that I'll share with the audience here today. But you can pretty much find everything right there on that website if you want to learn more after today.
Yeah, it's a good one. And I guess your job as secretary is to make sure everything works, right?
Well, that's the ideal. Yes, we do our best. Absolutely.
Are you from Maryland?
Not originally. No. I've had the opportunity to live in multiple states, which I think brings some perspective. But it's I love Maryland. This is clearly I call it the third act. It is my home now, and live on the eastern shore of Maryland, and just really, really love it here. It's wonderful.
Yeah. I'm not native either. I'm married into it, so I'm here just. let's see. I know that, as you said, that one of the things that planning does is just look out for how we can best accommodate a million new folks that are coming. How do you do that?
Yeah, well, let me start by just giving the audience just a quick summary of the different areas of this particular agency, because they all come together, I think, to give a more direct answer to that. And so we have the Maryland Historic Trust under the Maryland Department of Planning. And the Historic Trust, you know, not only in addition to their preservation grant loans, tax credit programs, archaeology, you know, the whole state and federal review program, I like to really think of them as the state's, I guess, reflection of how do we ensure we continue to honor the past and learn from the past and treasure, you know, everything that we have here in Maryland in a very important way. And so that's sort of that, you know, where we came from and learning from it aspect of our agency. And then we also have the planning services area of our agency, which really is looking at, well, what is best practices in planning? How do we do land use planning, community development, placemaking, research what's going on out there, review plans and policies. We have property mapping division. We also do geospatial data and analysis, which is an amazing set of tools to really look at a lot of the existing conditions, understand what's going on in practice, how can we, you know, best improve that. And then we have our State Data and Analysis Center, which is the area that we work on a statewide basis. We work directly with the U.S. Census. In terms of really having that socioeconomic data that we need to do projections, everything from the school projections to a whole variety of different areas using socioeconomic data to really understand who we are and where we're going. So under those primary areas of services, we really, I think, together really can forecast and begin to sort of shape where does Maryland want to go? And I think it's all about creating thriving communities. And I'll be, you know, I want to sort of break this down so I don't try to overwhelm people, but, you know, dive maybe into that a little bit further if that works for you.
Please.
Yeah. And so one of the things we're really focused on is evolving from what we've been known for the last 20 plus years, which is smart growth. And that's something right. that as far back as Governor Glendening, really put a flag in the ground and became a national leader on. And that was very much came out of a conservation movement of protecting our wonderful natural resources and being really thoughtful about where we grow and develop so that we would be able to preserve our forests, you know, our ecological systems and everything. And so that's been a lot of what has shaped growth and development patterns for the last 20 or so years. And that's been fairly successful. We've been able to, if you look around, that's why a lot of people live in Maryland, all of our wonderful natural resources and assets. But it's become apparent as we do grow, we also have to consider not only where we are growing, but how are we growing? What's happening inside of those growth areas? How is it being, you know, how are we shaping communities? Are we making them a place where they're healthy and thriving for everybody? You know, who is, you know, are we basically doing development in a way where people are being priced out? So what I'm trying to add to the equation by evolving from smart growth to sustainable growth is to utilize the three pillars of sustainability in that we really balance these areas of ecology, economics, because we do have to be thinking about fiscal responsibility and economic growth, and then that third layer of equity in terms of the human factor. You know, are we creating places where people can thrive and be healthy within their communities? Right. And so sustainable growth is the umbrella that we are now in this administration shaping growth patterns and principles and policies around those three pillars of sustainability.
Yeah, and I guess that is especially important in this era of scarcer and scarcer financial resources to deal with things.
It really is, and sustainable growth and development practices really, really do speak to all three areas. And when you think about it, starting with fiscal responsibility, you know, pushing out and building more pipes and more roads ultimately ends up with a responsibility in maintaining those, not to mention the capital investment. So to the extent that we can reutilize and optimize a lot of our existing infrastructure, maintain it, and really help communities thrive in a more compact manner, that really does create a savings in fiscal resources. It also creates more opportunity for clustering services so people have better access to those services. Everyone doesn't have to depend on single occupancy vehicles, have to own a car to be able to access services, whether it be the ability to, you know, walk, cycle, take a bus. That all becomes much more feasible to the extent that we can really cluster our population centers in a way where we can be more efficient in how we approach that. But in the end, also create a healthier place for people to live and thrive. And so that's a big part of that whole equation that we're trying to do better in terms of how we shape communities and help guide others around the state.
How can our listeners help?
I think get engaged. The first part is obviously as a state planning agency, we only have so much control of what happens on the ground in the localities. And so I think it's really important. And one of the things we are doing at the state level is creating these relatively new sustainable growth planning principles for different areas to be able to sort of create a unifying umbrella structure by which we can really consider what is good planning in your community? What are the things we need to be thinking about? And I think to the extent that listeners can be more familiar with all the pieces of what makes a thriving community, which we'll be developing out in the coming year and giving folks that tool. But it is important to get engaged. And that's really challenging, I know, for people with families and, you know, work. Everybody's busy these days. But if we don't find a way for to make it easy and accessible for people living in communities to have a voice in what's going on in their community, then we end up with a very small group of voices that aren't necessarily looking broadly at the interests of not only all people in the community, but future generations.
Yeah.
And the best way that can happen is if we, local government, state government, communities, NGOs, all, I think, make it easier and provide more access to being involved in local planning activities. And then from our standpoint, like I said, we're going to be doing more to create best practices and tools and access to information, but make it accessible and approachable so people have the language that they can use.
Right. I guess Zoom and the various things on the internet can be helpful in that way too.
It really can. I mean, one of the things we learned, I think through COVID, which was such a disruptor in so many ways. And one of those was everybody had to learn how to do online and virtual meetings. And I have a love-hate relationship with that because I still prefer in person whenever possible. But when you think about how we've been able to actually create more access to information, I think whether it be through virtual meetings or ramped up use of internet tools, I think it has in the end pushed us towards the ability for more people to be engaged in a variety of different ways. And so I think that's been a positive outcome. I think we still have to try to do relationship building and in person through a variety of methods whenever possible though.
Uh-huh. Are there any things open right now for citizen input online? For example.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Oh, are there any projects or plans or things available right now for citizen input online?
Well, there's a couple of things going on. First of all, look at your local government website because I would say almost every local government jurisdiction usually has something going on, whether it be planning for schools or new comprehensive planning updates, or right now everybody's very focused also on resiliency planning and climate planning. There's always something going on, usually at the jurisdiction level or even at the county level. So, just really pay attention to that. On the state level, this is perfect timing because, we have our sustainable growth subcabinet that I chair, and we're having our second, public forum of the year on December 20th, and that's an opportunity for your listeners to basically tune in. We always record those also and put them on our website under our commissions page, we'll be sharing some of the recent activities of not only the subcabinet, but then the 15 agencies that are part of the subcabinet will have an opportunity to share some of what's going on related to growth and development within their agencies.
Great.
And to provide an overview. So that's coming up.
And they can
go to our website
and they can
find it.
So now let's go for that.
Yes, they can, and it's under our commissions tab. You'll see right there, there's an upcoming forum that people can register through Zoom on the forum. That'll be, it'll be from 10 to 11 on Friday the 20th.
Okay, wonderful. Unfortunately, I've asked you a big question, and we had very scarce time available. So unfortunately, though, that's all we have time for today, Rebecca.
Okay.
I want to thank Rebecca Flora for being our guest today, who is Secretary of the Maryland Department of Planning. Keep up your good work for all of us. And for living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.